Welcome back to another didactic episode of the Blue Line Brothers. I'm Fred, I think.
I think I'm Frank.
Okay, good. I guess we're doing pretty well then. I think we're going to continue our theme of scariness since we're still in that near Halloween time. So, Frank, I think you mentioned something not too long ago. That you seem to be a little afraid of. Or maybe you just know somebody that might have a little fear and something that might be boiling up.
It's one of those things that if you talk about it, you know, people are going to go, oh, put on your tinfoil hat. But it's probably more truth to it than what people want to admit. And that's the impending fall of society.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty serious, man.
I mean, it's...
Did you just come up with that?
Well, yeah, you know. Every once in a while, I come up with a good one. I mean, if you think about it, the government or powers that be are telling you what they're going to do based upon the frequency of the movies that they show. Just think about it in the last, let's just go back to the last 18 months. How many alien, UFO movies have you seen that have come out? Or how many natural disasters, whether it's a, you know, earthquake or, you know, hurricane, asteroid, whatever, something, it's coming, it's going to end society as you know it. And then there's the ones that, you know, the government takeover of the United States. And it's almost like they're saying, hey, watch this. This is going to be the norm. You become acceptant of it. And then when it really happens, you're like, oh, well, that's cool. That's I've seen this before. This will work out. Well, it's not going to work out. That is, you know, they're psychologically getting you ready for the next stage in this game.
You know, Frank, it sounds like you've broken into the evidence room again and found some high-grade ganja.
Maybe.
But no, in all seriousness, well, first of all...
Not even going to try and deny that one.
Okay. Your name is Frank, and you're sticking to it.
Right.
And that's how that's going to work. But before we get even deeper with this stuff, please remember that this channel is just for entertainment purposes only. And please don't take any of our advice seriously, because we sure as hell don't. Well, okay, maybe... not quite. But, yeah, you know, the
items... Wait, before you get started.
Yeah.
Put your tinfoil hat on.
Oh, you know what? I don't even need a hat anymore, because I had it surgically embedded in my head. Yeah, so I don't even have to worry about wearing a hat now. I mean, people know that I'm freaking nuts anyway. So, mm-hmm. And I'm well past that. After being dead, let me tell you. you can call me anything. I mean, prior to my little death experience, you could call me anything but a white boy. And okay, fine, whatever. But yeah, especially now, because I know where I'm going. I know where most of us are going. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, because once again, that's a tinfoil hat conspiracy. but yeah, what you bring up, Frank, ironically enough, you know, a lot of those subtopics can actually be substantiated with something called fact. I know I just used the F word, but there's also something else that kind of ties in to being able to connect the dots, so to speak. And we've talked about it before. We kind of base this podcast around the tenets of Sun Tzu. And we remember a few major tenets, like all of war is deception. And that's exactly what's been going on with society since before the pandemic thing and all of that. And we can go back to that just briefly and look at, hindsight being 2020 for people that did not do any homework and did not believe what some of us were actually spouting back in the day, based upon fact, once again, that took quite a bit of research. And that's, of course, why we talk about people that are, too lazy to look up anything. Ignorance is bliss. And, hey, as long as somebody's taking care of me, I don't care about stuff. Which, hey, the way you want to be, by all means, be happy in your ignorance.
You did hit the nail on the head, too. As long as somebody is taking care of me. And I'm sure I'll get crucified for this, but I really don't care at this point. If you're living on the government dime, why would you rock the boat? You're going to believe whatever they tell you because you have to get that monthly supply of zoom zooms and wham whams from the store and watch your TV and be oblivious to what goes on outside of your arm's reach.
Well, that's a good point.
And I'm telling you, there is a large number of people in society that are living off of the government's dime. Of course. Well, I should say our tax dollars.
Of course. And a lot of that is based upon voter support and things like that. And, mm-hmm. of course, what's been happening in the last, not just one or two elections, but there's been a handful of elections, so...
They go back decades.
Yeah, we can't get... Actually, we're in our early 50s. So it's... excuse me. Based upon, once again, do some research, it is very safe to say that within our lifetimes, we have not had too many legitimate processes backed by the government at all. Not just elections, but anything. And once again, those of us that have worked for some faction of the government, we... have been exposed to a lot of those things. Maybe not all of us, but some of us working for major departments. I mean, even, of course, there's politics everywhere. But what I'm getting at is, especially with the larger departments, you see some things. You get exposed to things that you don't realize. One reason that one of my entities with which I worked was laid off was because we got too close. Inadvertently, okay. I'm not going to get into all this stuff, but once again, all good deeds are punished in a way, and we'll leave it at that. But it also opens one's eyes to what really goes on with the inner workings of government. And I can tell you, once again, I've heard high-level government officials refer to society, and this is, of course, back in the early 2000s, okay? So I'm not speaking about anybody currently, more than likely nobody currently left in office. And I say that because we have octogenarians running the country right now. But the whole thing is, I've heard it once again, quote unquote, using air quotes on a podcast again, directly from the horse's mouth, that the population is only here to pay taxes. And actually, they look at us as a necessary evil. They really don't want us around, period. If we didn't have to pay taxes, they would not want us, as in the general population, around at all. Okay, so this is their mindset. This is what they think. I'm going to, once again, I can't make a blanket statement and be anywhere close to being logical. So what I'm going to say is that what we have seen and experienced within the last few years definitely supports that notion that there are more and more public officials with that mindset.
What we've seen in the last, let's say the last 2 years, is just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, you've only seen a small portion of it, but it goes much deeper and spreads much wider. And, you know, we are literally the unclean masses. They, you know, they don't care about us as long as they get their money.
Well, they don't care about us. They don't want us around, period. I mean, mm-hmm. we are nothing more than...
Where do you think the idea of population control came from?
Well, and that's the whole thing. Once again, since the beginning of time, we've had a faction of people trying to take over the world and control the world. And once again, you know, several thousand years ago, what was the scope of the world on the planet? You know, nothing like what it is now.
If you're alluding to the one group that I think they've done a really damn good job of, you know, setting their hooks in.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, since the Tower of Babel, I mean, we've had some faction or group of people in some way, shape, or form or another trying to control the world as it was in their time. So, I mean, but yeah, you're right. Exactly, Frank. We have a group. And once again, now, there's some speculation here. I'm going to differentiate a few things here in a minute. But yes, there is a group that's actually a rather small group, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. that like a family-based group. I don't want to let
what
the...
What if they're inbred?
I'm going to say that several hundred years ago, that was a practice. Mm-hmm. Yes. And once again, that can be traced. We can take, for instance, the recent events with the plandemic, and I say plandemic on purpose. When we had our shutdown here in America, because I want to say thank you, by the way, for all of our supporters and listeners.
We're international.
We are international, and we never thought that we'd get is that we'd have to coin a term here. We never thought that we'd spread across county lines, and here we are. We've got some listeners, and they're not only that, but they're repeat listeners. I don't know how the hell that happened, but the whole thing is that when we had that shutdown, for instance, in my little situation, and you had a similar situation, most all of our part time went to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, yeah.
So I ended up getting a job babysitting a real fancy mansion in a fancy suburb and on late shift. And I had some time in between my rounds and everything to do some research on my computer. Okay. And I did some research. I grabbed a PDR and a thesaurus because, once again, I've got the mind as sharp as a butter knife. I decided to do research, and I found three main patents that came out of England and about four main patents that came out of the United States relating to the virus that was released on purpose, by the way, from a lab, by the way. It's once again, it's proven if you actually want to do the research, and it takes time. It took me, and this is what I'm getting at, it took about 3 to 4 weeks. And I was working, what, 5-6 nights a week. So probably each night, give or take a few minutes here and there, I had about four and a half hours that during the course of my shift that I could actually study and start digging deeply into things. So reading these patents, number one, is arduous. Number two, when you have a mind as sharp as a butter knife, it takes time. Okay, I should say issue some accolades on some of the in-service training over the years I've been able to benefit from. And one of those training schools I went to is something called DRE, or Drug Recognition Evaluator School. And because I went to that school, it's basically a condensed pharmacology school in 2 weeks. And you get about a semester and a half, two semesters of pharmacology thrown at you actually the first week it's all thrown at you. You got a weekend to study, and then the second week you're doing practicals and exams, and then you have a final exam. And It's a highly, highly focused, very high stress class, to say the least. But I learned a great deal going through that school, and I learned how to use a PDR. Okay, so once again, you know, with my mental capability, I was able to stay in practice utilizing a physician's desk reference. Okay, that's for those of you uninitiated, a PDR, and it's kind of nice. They're pretty accessible here in this country. You can order them from Amazon, I think, now, but, you know, most bookstores had them, stuff like that. But my point is, feel free to pick up your own copy of a PDR if you don't believe anything I'm telling you right now. And please don't believe me. Please do your research. Open your eyes. Read some books. And expand your scope, if you will. And that's, you know, if we had more people doing that, maybe we'd have more of a chance of standing up to some of these pieces of devil spawn that we call politicians here on this channel. And we might actually have a chance to make some progress somewhere and make life just as we know it maybe a little bit better after the real scary part that's about to befall us. We'll just say that right now. But the whole point is, getting back to that pandemic thing, basically that was like a test run. Okay, but going back to what I researched, though, reading those patents, I was able to determine who was behind this. I was able to determine who was lying, which was pretty much everybody. But yeah. I was also able to find the money lines to, there were three or four labs, collegiate-based labs, I might say, public collegiate labs. Okay, you know, your tax money, okay, maybe I should say that. Your tax money is funding this malfeasance that...
you paid to be locked down.
Yes, and through a number of points in England, and the money then flowed to Wuhan, China. And there were some members of society who are highly influential civilians that seem to think that because they have money, they can control the world's population. Bill Gates, I can't believe I just spilled that, it fell out of my mouth there. But and I found lines of money traveling from, like I said, three to four major collegiate labs through the Gates Foundation to Wuhan and all of this. You can find it yourself if you so choose to take the time to study this stuff. You're not going to take 5 minutes with a few finger swipes on your smart device and find this information. That's why 99.9% of society has not done this. Okay. And it took, once again, I needed a thesaurus along with that PDR to be able to read those patents. And once again, one of which, remember when that doctor, whoever that guy was.
Yeah, that idiot.
Yeah, remember when he stood up and told the world that it was a novel virus and he knew nothing about it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why? Yeah, his name is on one of the patents for the, dated 2017.
Imagine that.
Funny how that happened. But once again, now, I have noticed since then, I've done a few spot checks, not recently, the last year or so, I've had better things to do, like prepare for what's about to happen. I did do a few spot checks as recently as a year or so ago. There are a handful of things that I was able to pull up that are no longer on the net. So the powers that be have realized that there are some of us that have actually taken time to research stuff and actually find some, at least build somewhat of a factual database on some things. But all this leads to is what we experienced with that lockdown and all the bull crap and blah, 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 is that was a great test run for what's about to happen. the powers that be wanted to know, well, okay, how easy is it to manipulate society? And they found out real freaking fast how easy it was.
It's like trying to manipulate a third grader.
Yeah. But once again, I go back to Sun Tzu. They are following the 13 chapters of Sun Tzu to a T. And they have been for a very long time. Okay? Excuse me. And once again, I highly recommend. Let's see here. I've had about 7 or 8 different versions of Sun Tzu. And I'm trying to remember. I still need to pull up that book. I've got it buried deeply in a box someplace. I've got to find it. But the text, the reading Sun Tzu is a basic, it's a very easy read, let's put it that way. However, it's very philosophical, Eastern philosophical. So
I'm surprised they don't have a Sun Tzu for Dummies book.
Actually, they do. yeah, they do, but nobody reads it. I wonder why. Even with people like me saying, "Hey, go read Sun Tzu." What was that? I'm sorry, but you asked me to read? Yeah, read.
Can I find it on my phone?
Actually, you probably could. Yeah. You could probably find a copy of it, and you could probably have some fake
diploma.
I was going to say some fake
certificate for
communist supported voice read it to you. You know where I'm going with that. I'm not that. I still have a flip phone in my pocket, so I don't want anything smarter than me in my pocket. So yeah, that's I just have that's a personal rule of mine, I guess. But so at any rate, the whole thing is, should one become a student of Sun Tzu, and you have to treat that text, those 13 chapters, like a law book. Okay, so all of us cops, well, I should say, after working in Colorado and in some other places, certain states have really good law programs in their academies, and certain states really don't. In our state, we have a very, very good, well, we had, let's put it that way, because we've shared some thoughts on that. You definitely did not get a very good experience.
Let's change that to had.
We had, at one time, a very good law program, criminal law program, where the students within the academy actually learned how to brief briefs, basically. But at least, because once again, you know, time is limited in a police academy. They don't have the luxury of a full semester or anything, so they've got to ramrod a whole bunch of information in a shorter period of time. But they did teach in such a fashion to where the typical student would retain a great deal of information, even on the road through FTO programs and later on the road and everything, by doing something besides just PowerPoint and stuff like that. So one of the exercises of engagement was to brief case briefs. Now, when I took law in college, I was undergrad. I didn't go to law school, but undergrad, I had a really good, JAG Corps officer teaching our law. And man, this guy was phenomenal. One of my favorite classes I took, and he taught our law school class taught our class like a law school class. So we got to brief the Supreme Court cases and all that. So I still have a nubbin on my finger from writing so much. Because back then, once again, we couldn't just do finger swipes and type on smart devices or anything. We actually had to read books, and I can't believe we actually survived that stuff.
But, you mean you actually use pencils and 3x5 cards?
Yeah, reams of paper for notes. Yeah, reams. In that class, I went through several reams. But it paid off. I that was a labor of love. I loved that class, That's why I took a couple different police academies just because I couldn't learn it all the first time. I needed to go back and fill in some gaps here and there. So, but my whole point to all this is you have to treat Sun Tzu like you're reading a Supreme Court case. Okay, you read it first. Just to try to get the parameters of what's going on. Okay, then you're reading it again. to get back and say, I've got to get some holes and figure out exactly who the main players are. And okay, then you read it again to figure out, okay, what exactly did the main players do? So you're rereading, you know, a 20 or 40 page reading assignment, you know, on a Supreme Court case on a college level is more like a 160 page assignment. Okay, that's how in depth you have to get in order to get prepared to brief a Supreme Court case. And then of course, I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But we have to treat Sun Tzu similarly. In other words, just running through a chapter, you're not going to get the true meaning to the words, even though it's an easy read. It's not, it's not difficult to understand, on face value, if you will. But to understand the philosophy behind it, one must reread a little bit, maybe reread again, and in my case, you know, reread three or four more times over the course of time. And the way I would study that stuff is to read it, you know, kind of contemplate some things, take some notes, reread it again, make sure I have my notes where I want them and everything, and then try to practice those tenets, you know, try to make application to the real world. And as a cop, of course, I had plenty of opportunity because every time I went to work, okay, mm-hmm. there were plenty of examples of, oh, okay, yeah, maybe I need to do that. Hey, I'm going to try this. Hey, I'm going to try that. Oh, hey, this works too. Holy crap, you know, this works here and blah, blah, blah. So that's how I started applying tenets of Sun Tzu on my own. And of course, we all have to do that. Okay, that's how you really gain a grasp of what the tenets really mean. And because if you don't know how to apply something, what good are you? Okay, you're not. So that's the whole thing. So when we see, if you actually take the time to read those 13 chapters and then you realize, oh yeah, this is meaty stuff. I want to dig my teeth into this stuff and just really start studying Sun Tzu, you are going to see exactly what the hell has been going on around us for a very long time.
Well, here's another way of looking at that. So, imagine a football game and you just happen to come across the other team's playbook. And you know exactly what their playbook says and what they're going to use and how they're going to use it. So now you can counteract it or use it against them.
Are you recommending that we cheat?
No, I'm recommending that... Never mind.
I can't believe, Frank, you would even come up with such a notion that you...
What I was going to say would put me right at the top of the list of every ABC agency's list that they have. So we're just going to leave it at that.
I thought I knew you well, Frank. I can't believe this. I might become verklempt for a moment or two. Oh, my goodness.
I was merely trying to get to the top five instead of the top 10 on the list.
Well, okay, because actually what you were alluding to is Chapter 13, the use of spies. Hmm. Yeah, it just so happens that, you know, what all these things you're bringing up, Frank, lie right in tune with one of those 13 chapters.
Imagine that.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. Oh, my, you know, it's almost as if we might just be able to add two and two and come up with four.
Yeah. Might have to use, like, you know, two hands to do it, but yeah.
Well, it's a good thing we're equipped with something a little extra. Mm-hmm. You know, because I can't count that high myself.
I got toes.
Yeah, there you go. But that's the whole thing. And now, we're talking about this stuff because we're setting ourselves up. We're setting ourselves up for what we think might be coming down the pike here pretty soon.
Yeah, sooner than what you think.
Now, I think it's an invasion of Wookiees. I think this planet is going to be overcome by Wookiees. That's what I think is going to happen. And I think they're all paid off by one of these idiots in office.
Mine's a little more believable.
Oh, you don't believe me?
I'm gonna step away from the Wookiee part.
I thought we were friends, man.
Well, no, hang on. No, hang on. Hang on.
Okay, okay.
Just hear me out. The source of payment is still the same, but the beast is different.
Ooh, scarier than Wookiees?
Yes.
Really? Now, see, once again, a good thing we're covering monsters and stuff, because this is perfect time of the year.
Midgets.
Midgets?
Midgets.
Really?
Yes.
Now, are they zombie midgets?
No, these are just plain old government-paid midgets.
Government-paid midgets.
I mean, think about it. Okay,
is that where how all our money is getting laundered, is for midgets?
Hear me out. Yeah, it's a short little cycle for
laundry. I see. Pun intended. Right, yeah. Okay.
Hear me out. So you're walking down the road, and you know, it's like you see them, but you don't see them until they're right in front of you, and then it's like, oh shit, I'm surrounded by midgets. And then you get drugged down into the underworld and you become a midget, and then you add to their army.
So they grab your crotch, pull you down to the underworld, mm-hmm. and then you're all done.
Exactly. It's very reminiscent of the movie Phantasm, with the silver ball that would fly around the funeral home and stick you in the forehead and drill in, and then it'd take you and put you in a 55-gallon drum, put you to a time portal, and you'd become a little midget.
You know, I never did see the movie, but you know, that's a damn good idea, though. Because there's tons of 55-gallon drums out here just, you know, empty. I mean, we could fill a lot of little drums.
Well, I mean, think of how many government employees would then just figure out how many 55-gallon drums and. Well, I'm done. Now we just have to work on a time portal and send them off to a fifth dimension and be done with it.
Well, we do have that thing called quantum entanglement. Yeah, we could bend time just a wee bit. Yeah, that could be a possibility.
Actually, we could take all government employees, put them on, what is it, SpaceX, the non-government space shuttles they have.
Yeah.
And we could put them on there, put them in suspended animation, aim it towards the nearest black hole, and wait and see what happens.
Suspended animation.
Mm-hmm.
Black holes. You know, you're right. Your theory is far scarier than Wookiee's.
Yeah.
I gotta give you that, Frank. I thought I had it going on with Wookiees.
Oh, trust me, it can get a lot deeper than that.
it can get a lot deeper than that.
Welcome to the foyer of my mind.
Okay, we have to keep this rated at least, you know, no worse than quadruple X. So you know, yeah, we
Yeah, that's on the fourth level.
Yeah. There's a whole nother level, all right. Yeah, there's
Yeah, you know, Dante's Inferno? Yeah, they don't have nothing on my mind.
Yeah, there's more than seven rungs to that ladder. Yeah. So, yeah. So, the thing is, all this leads up, with all the silly cop humor aside. We're looking at some pretty challenging times. And the thing is, we have a whole lot of people that are nowhere near prepared for anything.
Well, let's just cut to the chase, all right? Society, as everybody has come to know, will cease to exist. And if you don't think that society is such a fragile thing, just go back and look at the quote-unquote plandemic, okay? You lock people in their houses for an undisclosed amount of time, people go nuts. And when they go nuts, they do things that you would never think that would even be possible for Mary Jo down the street to do.
You speak of societal manipulation, my friend. Mm-hmm. And once again...
So, you take Plandemic 2.0, and then all of a sudden, you know, the dollar's not worth a damn. And then, oh, well, if the dollar's not worth a damn, that means that the trucks can't come in and bring your food to the local grocery store. Then, you know, it just dominoes from there.
Funny you should bring up the economy, Frank. Did you do that on purpose?
Maybe.
Well, here's the thing. Excuse me. Once again.
A little bit of societal manipulation in here.
Just a wee bit. Just a wee bit. Because once again, if you're dumb enough, I'm just going to just come out and say it. If you're dumb enough to believe that a mask works at this point in time, after fact and fact and mm-hmm. fact and fact have been presented, okay, anybody that took, well, I should say, our public education system is pretty much non-existent at this point. So let's go back. If you
was
taken,
non-existent 30 years ago.
Well, okay, if you... If the calendar, the year on the calendar started with a 19 and you took a science class, and just a basic science class in high school or college, you would know that a mask doesn't work. You would mm-hmm. understand a lockdown does not work. You would understand some basic precepts of science, okay? Now, of course, men can have babies and all this stupid bullcrap, but... The whole point is, don't if you're still started. Wearing a mask, okay?
Don't get me started on if that
you,
shit.
If you still, then there's pretty much no hope. You're not going to open your mind for anything, okay? You've had ample opportunities to open your eyes, okay? If you refuse, that's your prerogative. Once again, you can do whatever. But the thing is, we have plenty of examples of the government not quite telling us the truth on many topics. So
no,
when we
they just come right out and blatantly lie to you.
Okay, I'm trying to be somewhat polite, but why? Yeah, I just called people dumb that are wearing masks, so why should I be polite? So the whole thing is the economy, okay? Once again, I am not an economist. I did not major in business. I did, however, take a macroeconomics class, okay? So once again, the mind is sharp as butter knife. Mm-hmm. Taking a one semester macroeconomics class can tell you exactly what a bond inversion rate looks like, okay? I can tell you what a monetary system, what that supply looks like, okay? You can match up analytics from the stock market now, and once again, I say this, the stock market is not a direct attribute to the economy as far as health goes. And once again, we're not going to turn this into an economics class, but the whole point is there are so many sources of legitimate analytics that show us that what we're about to experience will make 1929 look like child's play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, when I say this, people look at me, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you had soup lines in the 30s, in the early 30s, okay? And once again, let me remind people, the stock market crash itself is not what put us into the economic depression, okay? It was a sign of, it was a part of that. In the early 30s, our government... did some, well, from a constitutional standpoint, very heinous things, okay? And they're about to use the exact same opportunity, okay? That's one reason they, i.e. the government, wants to crash our economy, okay, on a macro level. And I say a macroeconomics is a study of government and its influence on the economy, as opposed to microeconomics, which is a study of private entities and their impact on the economy. Okay, so that's why we have the study of macroeconomics and microeconomics. So when we talk about, quote-unquote, the macro, we're talking about government influence on the economy. Okay, rule number one, the government, the only reason that we have inflation is because of the government. Okay, that is the only reason that we suffer inflation. Inflation is a tax. Okay, that's how you look at that. Once again, don't believe me. Go read a book, all right? Mm-hmm. Don't believe a damn word that I'm saying and call me a conspiracy theorist and go read a book, all right? So, there are multifarious reasons why the entities, the powers that be, so to speak, want to crash the economy. They want to make a buku amount of money. Okay, look at the number of millionaires that were made in the last crash. This crash will be 10 times worse because it won't just be a regional crash like it was in 29. This is going to be a worldwide crash because if you were to open your eyes wide enough, you would see that the Chinese yuan, the American dollar, the English, what you call it, pound, and all, they are all deeply suffering right now, and they are all on the hairy edge of destruction. Mm-hmm. We are going to crash at the same time, okay, relatively speaking. Okay, I say relatively speaking because we will see one crash and then we'll see the domino effect occur. That's how it's going to happen. And when that happens, no country, I mean, everybody's fiat currency is, when I say crash, the American dollar, that gold fart idiot, Alan Greenspan and a couple other guys that were highly complicit in this. I can't believe I actually liked the guy in high school, but I'm not going to get into that stuff. The whole point is all these muckrakers are complicit in what's about to happen, what's been happening and what will happen here soon. And I say will happen. I don't have a crystal ball. However, when it comes to economics, certain things get set into motion and they cannot be stopped. Okay, so this stuff has been set into motion even before the pandemic. Okay, so a number of these issues will come, they take years to play out. And now you have the super uber rich people that became super uber rich from the last crash and economic doom that put people in the grave and in the hospital and on hard times for most of their lives and all this stuff. They benefited from all that stuff. They make a buku amount of money off of the crash because they will buy all these assets for pennies on the dollar. Yep. And this time around, it'll be fractions of a penny on a dollar. Okay, it's going to be that bad. There will not be soup lines if there are any, there won't be for very long because there won't be any soup to be had. Okay, because once again, you look at the systematic destruction of our food process here in this country. Now, once again, our friends overseas, you have seen the same thing in Europe, or something similar, not the exact same game being played, but something very similar. And so we are going to have a severe food shortage along with the economic doom.
Expand on that a little bit, okay? You got farmers in the Midwest who are being paid exorbitant amounts of money per bushel to destroy their crops.
Well, in the cow farts, too.
You got multiple process plants, like chicken, beef, whatever, that just mysteriously catch fire.
They spontaneously combust.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's all the chicken grease, you know, they rub together and poof.
Maybe Colonel Sanders is behind this.
Ooh.
I just thought about that.
Well, yeah.
Frank, I think you're onto something here.
I mean, that is a large amount of fried chicken in one place.
It all started with the chicken processing plant.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it went all the hell after that.
Damn you, Colonel.
Yeah.
So you have all of these small things that are happening. You know, you get two black Suburbans pull up to Billy Joe Jim Bob's farm and they say, "How many acres do you have?" You know, "I got 5,000 acres. Okay, we're going to give you $300 per bushel to destroy your property or your crop." Well, I mean, that's money in his hand right there. You know, there are a percentage of people that they said, "Yeah, we'll take the money and we'll do it. No big deal." You know, then the ones that said, no, I'm not doing it,
don't have a farm anymore.
They don't have a farm. They don't have anything.
Yeah, funny. Is that just coincidental?
There are no such thing as coincidence.
That's right. There are no such things as coincidence.
No. So, you know, this... I'm about to go down this route, but this government is coming to the apex of its corruption. And we the people know it's corrupt, and the government doesn't give a damn.
No, that's... You're on a point, but remember, we were just discussing and explaining just how much of the public doesn't have a clue, and they're blindly supporting this silliness.
Okay, there are a percentage of we the people that know just how corrupt they are, based upon previous actions.
Not just because of Reynolds rap?
No. That just keeps us from, you know, our thoughts staying in our head.
Okay.
Then there's the percentage of people that are, you know, like I said, living off the government dime and don't give a damn what they say because they are not going to bite the hand that feeds them.
Well, and it goes back, I love a quote, and really I can't tell you the originator of the quote. I've heard it, read about it different, you know, for years now, but people talk, well, you have power in the voting box. Just go vote. Don't. Well, if you actually had power to manipulate the government, do you think the government would let you do it?
Number one. Well, and okay, that right there. We have the power to manipulate or elevate, or should I say, destroy the government. The problem is, society now is a bunch of ballless wonders, and they don't want to even think about that.
Once again, by design.
Right.
Let's go back prior to our time.
The government has neutered everybody.
We previous episodes, when we were talking about this same topic, excuse me, we got into some history. So revert back to... what was it? Season one, I think we covered a lot of the history, mm-hmm. Like the banking after 33 and stuff like that. Yep. What just exactly how
the
evil
gold
Roosevelt
standard
was.
And everything else.
Yes. So this goes once again the economic influence and manipulation started long ago. Now there was a point. Actually, that is another.
But see,
aspect of Lincoln's assassination.
When it first started the manipulation game, they were very good at hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you catch them in a lie, and they're just like, yeah, so?
But here's the thing.
What are you going to do about it?
But think about this for a second. See, you're right. Back in the day, of course, there was no internet. You know, mm-hmm. you had telephone, but it was much harder to spread the word, if you will.
Yep.
And we had a much smaller populace, stuff like that. And they knew that. So they knew what they had parameters within which to work, and they knew if they got too close or bypassed a parameter that, oh, shit, okay, ring it back, you know, and do this or do that or what have you. But they knew they could do things. Well, as time evolved, look at who's manipulating our smartphones, the internet, and all of this stuff as
exactly.
It comes to be. Okay, it's the same people doing this stuff. Okay, so they know just how far. Now, as once again, let's go back to the educational resources of which we've mentioned in the past. Okay, we have schooling, once again, air quotes on a podcast, has changed. Public education has changed, so much, excuse me, since we were in school, okay, in the 80s and 90s. We were in school, you know, junior high and high school in the 80s. We were in college in the early 90s. Okay, and look at how much things have changed since our time in school. Okay, and look at how indoctrination has taken place. Oh, now, once again, go back. What did communist China want to do, well, since communism took over in China? What does communism want to do, period? I mean, what's the number one goal of communism?
They want world domination.
Thank you very much. They want every person on this planet under the umbrella of communism. Every person. That's their goal. Okay. Well, the United States was the biggest threat to communism, period. Back in the day, before we were fully engulfed and I should say, how should I say that? Controlled by manipulation. Okay, because there, even prior to war, well, I was going to say that the fingers were starting to dig in. Okay, let's say the 1800s, late 1800s. Let's just do that. That's a little bit easier. Okay, we really weren't, as a nation, we were worried about our own growth. And that's what we were focused on.
Well, probably the one thing that you are looking, if you had to put a finger on, would probably be the assassination of Lincoln.
Right. That's
that. Right. That could be your start point from there to where we are now. It just has gone downhill.
It has. It really has. Because that, and what I was referring to, the one of a couple of notions behind the assassination, Lincoln's assassination, he wanted to put our dollar back on the greenback system. If you go back, once again, the greenback we use is slang right now for the dollar. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, back in the 1800s, the greenback was actually a government-issued dollar. Okay, it actually had meaning, the name greenback, because once again, it was with green ink on paper. But the point is, it was government-issued. Okay, we did not have a central bank. We did not have all this other, all these other sources of malfeasance, I should say.
It was kind of the precursor to the silver certificate, the gold certificate.
Yes and no. Here's the thing. That greenback was issued directly by the government. All right? So it was as long as we had a government, it was a good dollar or $10 or what have you, because we had the government sourced the dollar directly. The problem is, nowadays especially, who can we need to be able to trust, quote-unquote, somebody or some entity to be honest enough to actually issue a greenback, a government-issued dollar again, okay? And the problem is, we're not going to find that, all right? So now, and what I'm bringing that up because we say, oh, all we got to do is go back on the gold standard. No, not necessarily.
No, it's past that.
Because even a gold-backed fiat currency is still a fiat currency. A dollar issued directly from the government means that it's good as long as the government is good. Okay, and that's the thing. And when we talk about that worldwide crash, okay, that worldwide crash, we're going to have all of these fiat currencies, and I say crash, technically are they going to crash like the dollar? Okay, what I was sidetracking myself there, but the dollar technically cannot crash completely because all the Treasury does is keep printing more money. Okay, mm-hmm. So now, however, can we devalue that dollar to say 2 or 3 cents? Oh, yes, we can. Okay, so it takes a wheelbarrow full of money of dollars to buy a loaf of bread, like Venezuela right now. Okay, there's your hyperinflation. Okay, now. People in Venezuela, you know, there are Venezuelan dollars, whatever the hell they're called, flying all over the countryside because everybody knows they're worthless. Everybody's stealing the wheelbarrow because that's worth more than all the dollars that you can cram into it.
Yep.
Okay, that's what's going to happen here if things don't change. The problem is in some way, shapes, and form, we're already past the point of no return. Kind of like AI. Okay, we're already going to have a John Connor. All right, we're already past that. I hate to burst somebody's bubble, but that it's already done. So the thing is, all of these things are coming down the pike, okay? And of course, we're not going to get to the big juicy part, you know, in this episode, but this episode is kind of ramping up towards some future ones. We're going to get into the precursor of what could very well be coming. And once again, you realize to whom you're listening. mine's like steel traps here.
here's the thing.
The Blue Line Brothers. But
the government as a whole, it doesn't even trust itself. You have government agencies who don't trust other government agencies because individually they're corrupt, and then you put them together and it's so entrenched in its own corruption.
It's like a contest of corruption.
Right. And the only victim is we the people.
You know, those of us that actually believe in the Constitution and uphold it.
A perpetuating ball of shit.
So, like,
the government, we want your money, we need your money so we can do this. Okay, we give you your money, and then it's just like, you know, the government screws you, you screw them. It's going over and over and over again.
So that knock on the door, hey, I'm from the government, I'm here to help, isn't really truthful.
Well, no, it is. It helps you with your
I'm here to help.
Target acquisition skills.
I'm here to take all of your worldly possessions. I'm here to help clean your house. I'm here to make sure that
it helps with your target acquisition.
Okay, I see.
You know, it's like knock, knock, knock. Hello, how are you? Tink, tink, tink.
Okay. Well, that's enough for us to chew on until the next episode, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, until a future episode, hopefully. I don't know. After this episode, we may not have future episodes. We may mysteriously not be able to access our account anymore.
Or it could be a solo show because some, you know, ABC agency came knocking on my door.
Wait. You don't have a door.
Well, that's true.
Somebody come knocking on your tent fly?
Yeah, or they'll catch me in the line at the store or something. Like, hey,
you still live in the city park down on the? Oh no, wait, I shouldn't have said that out loud.
No, I moved to the tunnels.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. You live in the catacombs now.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, because now you don't have to worry about heat in the wintertime.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, with that, I think we're about to get cut off anyway. So, I'm Fred.
I'm Frank.
And we'll hopefully see you on another episode.
Bye now.